Man, it's good to be here today. Came in from Edmond, Oklahoma. Oklahoma says hi. Be nice. Today we're talking about the lifestyle of the saved, and so everybody be nice. I mean, come on. Today really has been a good day already. As Cindy said, it's good to be here in person and loving each other, seeing each other. It's great. Today, man, this is so much of James gets real personal. I don't know if you've sensed that or not, but it's like, ouch, you know. And this is very much the same. And yet, there's stories to be told even today about progress, and we're into that. One of the things that in the book of James, there are so many references to the book of Proverbs. So I thank Trinity for reading from Proverbs today, because I'm sure James had this proverb in mind when he wrote this part of the book of James. As a matter of fact, if you take James apart, almost all of it comes from either Proverbs or Sermon on the Mount. So it's a compilation of thoughts from both of those places. And this one definitely is from, there's several places that talk about our mouth, but in Proverbs, but this one specifically, you can see how James might have gotten this from reading Proverbs all of his life, or probably memorizing it all of his life. And it's good for us. This is good news for us, and yet sometimes maybe some hard news for us. You know, sometimes good news is hard. Well, this made me think back to my dad. When I became the head football coach, dad, the first year I did it, was the guy who carried my cord of my headset. And so you can see me and then dad standing right behind me. Now, you know, this is dated, of course, because today you don't have wire on your headsets. But in those days, it was very common for some person to be assigned that job to carry around the coach's wire that went to his headset. And this was dad's job. And he was pretty good at it. There were some times, though, that he, I don't want to say lost control, but that's probably the best words for it. So one evening, we're playing in Edmond, Oklahoma against University of Central Oklahoma, and it was a back and forth game. It was in the evening. We were struggling. They were struggling. We were both. It was real tight. It was very intense. And the next thing I know, my dad is about midfield screaming at the referee. And so I didn't notice it because I was talking to a player, and then I felt my cord kind of pull, you know. I said, what's going on? And I see dad's out on the field screaming at the referee. And so I say, come back here. He doesn't pay any attention to me. I have to go out on the field myself. I grab him by the back of his belt and I pull him, and he's still going at it. And the referee comes over and says, coach, you need to take care of that guy. I thought, oh my gosh. I got to take care of my dad. Dad, you're fired. And but so, some of us have, so, you know, we have times, I think you would probably agree, where you said something in a way, or just the content itself was something you wished you hadn't have said. Have you ever been there? You said something either in your tone or your volume or in your content, and it's not really what you want to say. And the question I have, and James is suggesting that we can change, but I want to know, can a person change? I don't know. And this is an area in our lives where I think God is calling us to a higher kind of level of speech and thought and love. So the answer, of course, the Bible gives us is yes, people can change. That's why Paul talks about being new creatures, and Jesus talks about being born again. That's because people can change. And sometimes we have habits or ways. There is a thing some people will say, well, that's just the way I am. And you know what God says back to you? He says, no, that's not the way you're going to be, because you're going to be born again. You're going to have a new life. And that new life includes change in your behavior. Let's pray. God, I pray today that you would just make this message very personal to us, that you would open our eyes to our own hearts, and that we could see inside of ourselves. And God, I pray that we would be open to your presence, that your Holy Spirit is working in our lives, that we could be more like your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So we're in chapter 1 still. And here we are in verse 19, and here it goes. This is one of the verses James is probably best known for. There's several others. But everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And the people said, amen, and let's go eat. Okay, because let's break it down just a little bit. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And some of us are already feeling the toe step, you know, ouch, don't step on my, but it's happening. So one of the things that we should know about this verse, though, is James isn't just a bunch of verses thrown into the bag and you just pull out one and read it like a fortune cookie. All of it flows together. What happened last week in James and what happens next week are kind of a sandwich around these verses. And so last week we talked about evil desires. That's why we sin, because our hearts are evil. And so that's why we give in to temptation, because we got evil desires. And next week we're going to talk about just the Word of God and putting it into practice, taking it from hearing to actually doing. And so in the middle of that is this instruction about zip right here, like that, or I don't know how do you signal it, whatever it is, your signal to your spouse perhaps, or to your child, what's your signal? Be quiet, you're talking too much, whatever it is. But let's just talk about being, first of all, quick to listen. Question, are you a good listener? Would people say that about you? I mean, I think people would say, I'm a good listener. I haven't always been a good listener, but God changed me. I'm a pretty good listener. But here's the thing, I know I could be a better listener. So even if you're a good one, let's say that you want to be a better listener. I got a list of things that I think good listeners are not. And these are the things I hate when someone's listening to me. So these are things Bob hates when people are supposedly listening to him. One is when you're telling something and the person you're talking to begins to one-up you. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah, that happened to me, but you know what? This happened to me so much bigger than yours, you know? I got shot with a gun. Well, I got shot with a cannon. I mean, you know, come on, dude. I hate when people are one-upping me in their story. And so, and yet I had to admit that sometimes when someone's telling me a story about something that they've done, what's going on in my mind, I've stopped listening pretty quick and I begin to tell my bigger story. No one-upping. The other is when I'm telling someone something and they say, yeah, I know. I said, dude, I don't care if you know, listen, I'm telling you. And I was the worst at this. My dad would always tell me, son, I mean, he is, you know, when he said son, you know, something bad could happen next physically. And so he would be telling me something. I'd say, I know. Son, okay, yeah, I don't know. I'd have, okay, you want me to pretend I don't know? I do. But really, to shut someone down who's telling you something, they've got something to say, listen. The other is sometimes people act as you're talking to them, you're trying to engage them, and they're just too busy for you. Or they seem really distracted, like they really got someone else to talk to or someone someplace else to go. And some of you may feel that about me every Sunday after church, because I really do have somewhere to go. But I love you, but you know, I gotta go. But still, when you're in a conversation, can you be a better listener? Well, one way is not to be kind of looking around at the crowd. It's maybe someone I'd rather be talking to you. No, you talk to the person, listen right there to the person in front of you. Another thing is to try and, someone's telling you something, and in your mind, you already know what you're going to tell them to fix it. And they don't want you to fix it, maybe. They just want you to listen to them, you know. But I got fix-its in my mind. And I'm especially trying to, with Mary Beth, because I want to solve her problems. But really, I can't, number one, truthfully. But even if I could, she really is not telling me her problems because she wants me to solve them. She wants to just me to listen. And another one is, and this is sort of like that, is just being too quick to offer advice. Again, they're not maybe seeking advice. Here's one that happens these days some more often than I think, maybe in my past, but for me, is I'm talking to someone and we're talking about whatever the topic, but it's something different than they're already thinking. And they are so committed to the way they already think, they won't listen to what's being said. Have you ever had that? And I've done that myself too. I'm so committed to this other understanding. And this is the way it was even when I was a little kid, you know, because some boy in school was talking to me about being a Baptist. And I said, you know, you're nuts. In my mind, I'm like, You know, them Baptists, they're wrong. Whatever he's going to say, it's going to be wrong. You know why? He's a Baptist. I mean, that's what I was as a little boy. I don't want to be a little boy all my life. I want to be a grown up. And so listening without having my mind already set, I think is important. And then there are some things we shouldn't listen to, though. And we're going to get to this in another section of James, because he talks about how we speak more than just once. But sometimes you need to shut it down when someone is beginning to gossip. Shut it down. I can't hear that story. You know, just that's what I just can't hear that story. Thank you for wanting to tell me, but I can't hear it. Or, and this is what in a minute James is going to say, there's going to be moral filth. I think he's talking about what comes out of our mouth. The last thing on this slide is quick to listen. Sometimes you disagree with a person, and this is what I think James is getting at, that sometimes why we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak is because if we're not, it leads to anger. It leads to anger. Shooting your mouth off can lead to anger. Having a discussion where you're not listening and you're talking too fast can lead to anger. And sometimes it's just that you disagree. And sometimes, you know, disagreeing doesn't always have to mean you're mad at the other person. I mean, sometimes it almost has to happen. Like, you know, part of my family thinks that the Carpenters sing Ticket to Ride better than the Beatles. And we know that's wrong. The Beatles version, I mean, Karen Carpenter has a great voice, but in the song Ticket to Ride, the Beatles version of it is correct. And, you know, if you're wrong, I have to hate you. I mean, this is kind of the way we are with, and even though that's kind of a silly example, I mean, there's real examples that are kind of silly too, where if you say this, that means I am obliged, I am required to hate you. I'm angry at you because you have a different opinion of who sings Ticket to Ride better. And some things may be more important than Ticket to Ride, but you know, some things that we're mad about, no, not really. So next, he says, quick to listen, but also be slow to speak. One of the reasons I think we should be slow to speak is because we need to hear the whole story. And a lot of times when we're talking and we get interrupted, you know, you didn't let me finish. Because the comment that's made in the middle of the story is often you know, wrong. It's not just wrong. It doesn't even make sense when you've heard the whole story. So be slow to speak, quick to listen, so you hear the whole story. Mary Beth, you know, we were talking about the sermon, as we often do, and matter of fact, probably too often for her sake, but she says, you know, I said, you know, that's why parents would tell their kids, count to 10. Count to 10. She said her dad used to tell her, count to 20. Her siblings, count to 10. Her, count to 20. Yeah, she has too much to say sometimes. But here's the thing about being slow to speak. It lets you, to me, I'm much better at this, why I believe God can change me. Because, man, I would just almost welcome an argument. But in the quiet, in the not talking time, in the slow to speak time, I'm asking myself the questions about the thing I'm getting ready to say. I'm using this slow to speak to ask myself these questions. Does what I'm going to say honor God? Right off, does it honor God? If it doesn't honor God, beep, I don't need to say it. I just don't need to comment at all. And sometimes we feel like we have to comment. No, we don't. We don't have to come. If it's not going to honor God, doesn't need to come out of my mouth. The second, is it going to bring wisdom to the situation? Or is it going to bring more confusion? Sometimes I need to wait and form my replies better so they don't bring confusion. They bring wisdom. Next, does it build up the other person? Is this going to be encouraging to the other person? Paul instructs us in Ephesians that our talk should be encouraging. Don't let anything wholesome come out of your mouth, but only things that encourage. One, is this thing that's going to come out of my mouth, is it part of my character? Or is it sometimes I speak and I'm not really, that's not who I am. A person who speaks this negative way, does the thing I'm going to say, does it come from a child of God? That's who I am. Next, is it appropriately motivated? You know, some of the things I say, I want to say because someone's speaking and I want to reply in a way, and the reason is I want to look good. I want to make myself the kind of the hero of this conversation. And that's the one-upping thing. But is it motivated out of pride, I guess we'd say? I don't want my pride to be what motivates my speech. And then also, I don't want my anger to be what motivates my speech. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And for sure, I don't want condemning, judgmental stuff to come out of my mouth. So I need to be slow to speak. Slow down. You know some people who are like that. I know some people in the room who I could say, that guy, that girl, slow to speak. I know they're going to take their time in this reply, and that they're easy, good to talk to. Well, one of the things about can a person change, I showed you the picture of my dad earlier, and he was not one who was slow to speak, usually. But later, almost 10 years after the event I just showed you the picture of, he came up with this little prompt for himself, first of all, and he calls it KMS. And he has little cards like this, KMS, and he'll give one to you if he thinks you need it, but it means keep mouth shut. Just simple. Keep mouth shut. And some of you probably need to order a set. Keep mouth shut. It's just a reminder. Keep mouth shut. It's his way of saying slow to speak. And change happens when you set your mind. Well, we're going to get to how that change happens in just a minute. But all this, I think, quick to listen and slow to speak has to do with this third thing, which is be slow to become angry. I'm really proud of the emoji. Yeah. Be slow to become angry. And this is what I think, again, James is getting at. Y'all heard of gateway drugs? You know, you start doing one thing, and then you do the next thing. You start smoking cigarettes, then you start smoking pot, and then you start, or the way Dad would say, well, you go to a dance, and the next thing you know, you're going to get pregnant. I said, Dad, I'm a guy, for one thing. And number two, while you're dancing, it's the one thing leads to another thing. And I think James's point here is that a person who is quick to speak and slow to speak and quick to listen will be slow to anger. Anger comes from often an uncontrolled tongue. You can be having a discussion, and then the next thing you know, you're having a disagreement, and then the next thing you know, you're having a fight. That things begin to escalate as it's coming out of your mouth. The volume starts going up, and you begin to feel this feeling of anger inside of you. And often, the source of anger is our pride, but not just our pride, but our stubborn pride, something that we're just not willing to let go of. Anger, the Bible's going to say, is a heart problem. It's a heart problem, and so is angry speech. So this is what James says. Our anger does not produce the righteousness, also same word means justice, that God desires. Anger doesn't accomplish God's purposes. And I believe they come from these two main sources, our anger. One is what I often call our me addiction or our selfishness. We want things our way. Things aren't going our way. I'm mad about it. And I go from, instead of trying to work through a problem or a disappointment, I go from just being disappointed, things not going my way. Boom, the next thing I hit is the anger button, and I'm right there. And that, again, I said like last week, comes from our selfish desires. And then also my pride. My pride. Now then, God can use godly anger, and he has in the Bible. There's certain things to be angry about, and we'll get to those even next week when he talks about how we treat orphans and widows. There's certain things God wants us to be upset about, and yet that he says our anger, human anger, anger that comes from, I guess, our gut response oftentimes, or our prejudice oftentimes, something that's not God-honoring. Sometimes, on the other hand, our anger is something about the broken world and how can we motivate ourselves into action. This would be Jesus and the temple, where he cleaned the temple out. And earlier he says, be angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Anger's going to happen. Don't let it get out of control. And that's what was going on here and what I think James is talking about. And so he says, because of these three things, these are true things. These are things that you need to do and know. He says, therefore, or because of these things, he says, get rid of all the moral filth and evil that's so prevalent. Now, I think last week we talked about overcoming temptation and how our evil desires is where why we do sin instead of overcome this. But here's what this moral filth and evil, I think it's specifically talking about how we talk, the words that come out of our mouth. Especially anger, but also other words that come out of our mouth. He said, we have, and would we not say even in our culture today, moral filth and evil is part of our daily speech, things we daily hear, people who are angry and they're ranting. I don't think God enjoys a rant. Or it's just nasty and it's filthy. I don't believe God intended our mouths for the purpose of ranting or being filthy. And so, this kind of moves on into next week's sermon as well. We end with this. So what? Well, humbly accept the word which is planted in you, which can save you. I want to break this sentence down a little bit, a couple of ways. Number one, humbly accept. For you to accept a teaching, what you've got to do is set your previous, thoughts and maybe understandings aside and say, maybe this person knows more about this than I do. Or maybe you should think this as you enter some conversations. Maybe I'm wrong. Has anybody ever thought, maybe I'm wrong? I pretty much don't. I pretty much think, hey, I'm right. That's why I'm talking. Because I'm right. My uncle, when I was a young boy, we had this great relationship. It was my great uncle, really. It was my grandfather's brother. For some reason, he believed, wrongly, that Willie Mays was better than Mickey Mantle. And we would write letters about this. But it was all kind, you know. It was a kind of disagreement. But this idea of being able to say, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Willie Mays was better than Mickey Mouse. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Humbly accept. But this isn't even talking about you with a conversation with another human. But it's talking about humbly accept what? The word which is planted in you. And I believe that James, what James is talking about, he's talking about that Proverbs was planted in him. And he needed to humbly accept the wisdom that Proverbs was giving him and that he would live that out in his life. Humbly accept the word which is planted in you. Now then you've got the word planted in you. I guarantee you, you know this word. Love your neighbor as... Oh wow, y'all have the word planted in you. Humbly accept that means to live it out. And it says, planted in you, which can save you. Now, this is the, in this particular paragraph, I really believe this is what James is getting at. We can be saved from our bad mouth. We can be saved from anger. And what saves you from anger, what saves you from a bad mouth is the Word of God. So let that thing that's planted in you, accept it. It's the Word of God. And the verses that Trinity read, this is the Word of God about how to speak and what kind of words build up and what kind of words tear down. I'm just wondering in this last week, how many of you had a fight, even if it was in your mind, with someone else over something that really is not that big a deal? And yet anger towards that person began to build. This is what I think James is saying to us. We can be saved from that kind of, frustration. Man, a frustrating life is to live with just anger all the time. And so what James leads us to say is get rid of it. How? Accept the word that's planted in you. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. And I want to suggest this before we sing is that one thing you might do even to begin to lower the anger level right away. There are some people in your life who you know right now that you're more likely to get angry at in this next week even. You may have a list. But there's some people that are in your life and you know their personality and yours, your past, y'all's past, whatever it is, things that have happened, that you're likely to get more angry at them than others. What I suggest is you pray for them. Just pray for them and pray that they're going to have a peaceful and good day. And then if they don't go, God, what did you do? No, but just pray for them. Pray for them and pray for peace for them. and pray that you will be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger. God wants us to be like Jesus. He wants to change us into that person that we're destined to be. Let's sing, and I'll have a closing thought in just a minute.